Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome you to Porch Talk. This is your host, Alan. We are at the Blue Front Cafe for the 73rd birthday party for the Blue Front. And first up playing this evening is Ryan Lee Crosby. He's sitting here with me now. Ryan, how are you doing?
Pretty good, Alan. It's great to be back.
Yeah, it was. So we recorded an episode last time, and it didn't come out in the wash. We ended up sounding like robots. It does that every now and then. I don't know what causes that. It was just something in the ether.
Yeah.
And I feel like we'll do a better job here. So everything happens for the reason, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's quieter now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's our second time meeting. I met Ryan at the Blue Front Festival earlier this year, and I got to see him live for the first time. Excited for the sit tonight. And we had the pleasure of being the sound man earlier.
We might be the sound men tonight, too.
That's right. And I don't mind it. That was one thing when I pulled up today, you know, talking with Gilbert and Jimmy and just everyone who really just came in to make everything happen, is we got to work together to get this done here.
Yeah, got to pitch in.
That's it. And so Ryan has been on the show. We did a Zoom call in the past. Ryan is from Boston, and just to kind of let people get to know a little bit more about you, what all are you involved in?
What am I involved in?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I play guitar, sing and play guitar, write songs. Sometimes I write articles and essays. I study or have studied music of different traditions, and I teach music as well.
Mm-hmm.
And before the pandemic, I used to tour 2 to 3 months a year, and now I'm just, you know, playing a little bit here and there.
Right on.
Oh, and I guess I could also say I have a record coming out next year that I'm in the early stages of organizing, so I hope I'll be touring again next year.
And I know we've talked about this in the past, but I want to talk a little bit about your influence with these different traditions and cultures of music that you've been learning and the styles. What led you to that?
I think just a love of music and wanting to recognize and appreciate that people all over the world have their own cultures, their own histories, their own communities, and that's a beautiful and sacred thing. From my point of view, I think growing up, I've just loved a lot of different kinds of music, and over the years, I find myself wanting to appreciate the cultural and communal aspects of music, but also just trying to listen to different kinds of music for what's universal, what are just the broader qualities of music. And so I think that leads me with an interest in different directions. In the last few years especially, I've been really focused on blues from Mississippi, because I've been fortunate to be able to spend, you know, time here, as much time as I can. And so I've really just tried to organize myself around that. I do feel like there's something so pure and beautiful about blues from Mississippi and from the South that it can, I know at least for me, it can make me feel like there's no other kind of music in the world. It's just what I want to listen to and think about all the time. But, but yeah, as I look back over the course of my life, I've always been interested in different kinds of music.
Yeah, And just how did the relationship with you and Jimmy get started?
Well, I was I had learned some of, as best I could, some of Skip James's repertoire from Paul Rochelle about 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Paul told me, you've got to go down there, because I was studying with Paul at home in Boston, and it's like, you've got to go down to Mississippi. And so I just kind of filed that away in my mind, and then I got a chance to go with my friend Ted Drozdowski to play the Juke Joint Festival. I was playing in his band, and that was 2014, and that was when I first heard of Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize that there was still, that the blues was alive in Bentonia, and that I knew a little bit about Jack Owens, but I hadn't heard of Jimmy yet. And so I missed him that first year, but I called him on the phone a couple times after.
Mm-hmm.
And asked him if I could come down. And yeah, we talked a couple of times, and I think it was hard for me to hear him, and the train was going by and all that. And I sent him a CD that I'd been working on in the mail at the time. And then I just kind of thought, oh, you know, I don't know. It didn't seem like it was the right time.
Yeah.
And then, I came in contact with Gilbert Vowell in 2018, and then he made it possible. I talked to him, and I reached out to Michael Schultz, and I came down and February of 2019 for the first time.
Yeah, and I mean, just looking back to 2014 and now, you have an upcoming show in Memphis where y'all are going to be sharing the stage together, right?
Yeah, it's been just the greatest joy to be able to come here and try to learn as much as I can and grow as much as I can, and it's really helped me in just finding and reconnecting to a love for people.
Mm-hmm.
That I think I was less in tune with before I started coming here.
Yeah, right on. And I mean, just to mention this for anyone who is interested in the Bentonia tuning and the style, Ryan wrote an article for
Premier Guitar.
And that was one of the first times that I had seen an article where they actually got the tuning right.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, but you notated that there's two different ways to go.
Mm.
Like, I think it's C sharp, and then, like, some say, what, D flat or something, you know?
Well,
Which is the same note.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I think, you know, you want to see the tuning or any tuning for how the strings, you know, relate to each other. So if it's, you know, the cross note tuning, you've got D A D F A D, or you know, C sharp G sharp C sharp E G sharp C sharp. It's, to my mind, it's the same tuning, but you're in different keys.
Mm-hmm.
So seeing the underlying relationships between the tuning, I think, you know, because it seems to me that, like, hearing Jimmy on any number of nights, he, just depending on where his guitar is tuned, seems like he often plays around C sharp, around,
mm-hmm.
you know, but it could be elsewhere.
Yeah.
But the relationship between the notes is, in theory, the same.
And we have the people, you know, like Robert Conley Farr and Philip Sable and yourself, who have learned under Jimmy. And if I'm leaving anyone out, I apologize. But I think that you said it right there. It's good that all these people are getting involved with Jimmy and, like, keeping this alive, because mm-hmm. Jimmy really was the only one left that I'm aware of that was keeping the tradition.
Yeah, I don't know of anywhere else from town who grew up with it or learned it along the way or still plays it. I mean, Jimmy's grandson, I guess, I believe his name is EJ Fox.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I haven't met him or heard him, but I've seen a video of him.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that he's
learning.
Yeah. But I don't know much of the details about it.
And let's talk a little bit about the instruments and a bit of your set. You've got a couple of new songs that you're going to be sharing this evening.
Yeah, I think so. At least one or two, I think. Yeah.
And so what is the instrument you have laid across your lap?
That is just like a six-string lap steel. I guess it's a Morel lap steel. It's kind of, I find that instrument a little hard to play. It's a little hard to play and stay in tune compared to when I'm at home. I have a Regal Dobro that I usually play lap style.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's hard to travel with that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So, but this one's cool. It's got, it sort of fights back, you know? It's like an untamable, it's an untamable beast.
Yeah, and I mean, just while we're talking about instruments, I got the name wrong last time. It's a foreign instrument. I think you recently do a show?
The chaturangi, maybe?
Yes, yeah. Yes.
So
how did that come about?
Yeah, I mean, in a way, I heard, do you know the guitar player Michael Chapman? He died recently, actually. He's a British guitar player.
I believe that's the way he's familiar, just because I've heard he passed.
Yeah.
I wasn't real familiar with his work.
Yeah. I think he had a pretty wide body of work. I don't know it all very well, but I was listening to, he has a record called Rainmaker, probably from the late 60s or early 70s. And he played this one little line that sounded to me like it was played with a slide, but I actually don't think it was. It was just the texture of the line. But it almost sounded to me like a sitar, but he was playing in a bluesy kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of those moments where you feel like it's like being struck by lightning, you know, where you just realize, oh, I'm going to think about, this is the next thing. And so, soon after that, I realized that there was already a way to play Indian raga on slide guitar, and that there was a tradition of it that had been evolving since probably the 50s or 60s.
Whoa.
Yeah. I don't know if the guitar is widely accepted yet as a Indian classical traditional instrument by the greater, Hindustani classical community, but there are some really wonderful pioneering musicians who have modified guitars and are doing beautiful work. And so I was really lucky just to happen to get to meet a musician named Debashish Bhattacharya,
mm-hmm.
who is, I probably said this last time we talked about it, I think he's probably the greatest slide guitarist in the world.
And he's this in Boston?
Yeah, he was in Boston from Calcutta, and I got to spend an afternoon with him and stayed in touch with him and was able to get one of the guitars from him that he designed and
wow.
Took a series of workshops with him
when he was in town. To learn how to master it?
I mean, more to try to learn how to begin it, which I don't know that I really got there or not, but then after that, so much of that music, the way that it's taught and learned is by singing.
Mm-hmm.
You might think of Ravi Shankar playing the sitar or Ali Akbar Khan playing the sarod, but that music is taught by singing and it's learned by singing. So it turns out there was a really wonderful Indian classical Kyle vocalist in my neighborhood named Warren Senders who lived right down the street from me.
Huh.
So I started taking lessons with him for probably close to 2 years, and that informed a lot of the last record I made, which is called River Music, and that is doesn't have a ton of chaturangi on it, but it's a blend of 12-string guitar, tabla, calabash.
Uh-huh. And you have your 12-string out there today, right?
Yeah, that I see as my primary instrument.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this. You made mention of that music. It's important that it be taught by singing.
Hmm.
What about the correlation of the Mississippi blues? How do you feel it to be in the foot, as Jimmy says?
Yeah. I have this kind of corny joke that I tell my students, or sometimes I'll ask them, you know, what's the most important note in any song? It's the foot. which they never laugh at, but but it's so true.
I mean, if you ever come down here and watch Jimmy, I mean, what will Jimmy tell you?
Yeah, watch my foot.
If you want to know where I'm at.
Yeah. Yeah. And I spent a lot of time thinking about that, and I feel like what it means to me, you know, and I think that some of my new songs have been a reflection of, what if I tap my foot half as much? Because I feel like, you know, I love the guitar playing of Robert Belfour, and I really admire and love the guitar playing of Joe Ayers, and, you know, watching them play, you know, and thinking about a foot tap, mm-hmm. and where the thumb is, bump, 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 mm-hmm. bump, you know, there's your pulse, and you might really be feeling things that way, and that creates its own momentum. But if you cut your foot in half, for me, that changes how I feel all the way through my entire body.
Emotionally.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel that, yeah. When you cut it at half, and I didn't know if your thumb was going to keep going, but your thumb slowed down too.
Yeah, I mean...
More feel, right?
Well, yeah, so I feel like I've really been trying to feel into that a little bit, and I think some of that comes from, you know, enjoying records by Ali Farka Touré. I've been learning one of his songs, and I've been kind of thinking about that a lot. And one exercise I have some of my students do sometimes, the ones who are, you know, kind of learning something about this style, is that, yeah, we may play an exercise where we, you know, the thumb and the foot is going like this, and then maybe, you know, we'll add like a slide line or a melody line, but then mm-hmm. you keep that thumb going, cut the foot in half, keep the thumb at same speed, bring the foot back, cut the thumb, look at that. You know, just sort of splitting one and then the other.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe doing it as a monotonic bass line or an alternating bass line. Or,
well, that creates a lot of discipline.
Well, so, you know, I think that idea kind of comes from the study of Indian music, in which things are categorized, organized, explored from every possible angle. And then when you explore it from every possible angle, you will kind of ascend and descend through a series of melodies. Mm-hmm. And I do think that what that creates is, a sense of discipline, a sense of focus. One of the things that I loved about, I mean, I don't feel that I can play Indian raga music very well, but the benefits of it, I think, are that it's helped me to feel more of a sense of centeredness, focusedness, a willingness to just kind of be where I am and play from where I am, and not have to rush into the next thing or to leave space. And I see that as correlating really directly with some of the things that, you know, I've observed or heard from Jimmy too, and that, you know, he's told me, you know, don't play too fast, you know, slow down, watch my foot, you know, the pulse is important. And, you know, there's not I think you can say in a generalized way, there's not a lot of chord changes in Bentonia blues.
Mm-mm.
Some of the songs, and a lot of my favorite things that I feel like I've heard Jimmy play sometimes, are just a single chord. And that has that same centering effect, I find, as like a tambura does in raga music.
Even though, like, with some of those songs, it's one chord or even maybe two, it doesn't feel like it, though.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I believe, I mean, there's, you know, it's that bass bumping, and he's doing things on the treble side of the frets,
mm-hmm.
which adds a whole lot of depth, but there's not a whole lot of chord changing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing how much he gets away with.
Yeah. It seems to me, I can't remember if Jimmy had said this to me or this is something I interpreted, but something about the Bentonia style to me seems like it's about the creating and holding of a mood or an atmosphere,
mm-hmm.
which is that is like a very clear intention in North Indian classical music. Each rag has its own mood and its own feeling, and if you play a note that is out of the raga, it's like highly frowned upon because it destroys the mood. And it's all about that creating and sustaining of a mood. And one time Jimmy was showing me all the notes that you could play on the fretboard. Mm-hmm. I think he was telling me that Jack Owens had showed it to him this way, where you can play here, 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 and here, and you might not play the note that you meant to play, but as long as you stick to those notes, you won't sound off. Yeah.
You won't fall out.
Yeah.
And that's the thing about it, is like right when you hit that wrong one, everyone knows it.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it goes to the mood. It's like you broke the mood.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, just with the Indian reggae.
Raga?
Raga.
Yeah.
Can that be done if someone wanted to, like, I mean, have you wrote a guitar for Premier Guitar about it, or wrote an article?
I did. It's a very preliminary article. I mean, I'm in no way qualified to teach that music, mm-hmm. and so I don't. But I did write an article with just a very
introduction,
very 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 basic introduction.
Yeah, and I was just like, if people were interested in looking into it, on top of. If you wanted to know, like, Bentonia or Hill Country, the best thing you could do is go to Clarksdale or Bentonia,
mm-hmm.
and just come see it for yourself. Because you have R.L. Boyce and Jimmy, who are so gracious to be able to... They'll show you any and everything you want to know about it.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me like the main two differences is once it goes back to the foot with the blues and the voicing or the singing of the Indian style.
Mm. Which, you know, interestingly...
But they coincide, right?
Yeah. I mean, also, if you think about... Or I guess what I've considered is that... One could sing or express the blues, like a complete and total expression of blues, simply by singing and tapping their foot.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe like Sunhouse is grinning in your face, or I think that comes to mind. I mean, or the earliest blues melodies, were not accompanied by guitar or by uh-huh. any instrument, perhaps, just the whatever tools were being worked with. So you had, your melody and your pulse, and then those are very elemental, strong, deep similarities between two seemingly, two traditions that may seem like they're completely worlds apart.
Mm-hmm.
But both those styles, if you listen to a raga, there is the melody, which is played by the instrument or the singer.
Mm-hmm.
There's the harmony, which is played by the tambura, which is a little hard to describe, but if you heard it, you'd likely recognize it. Like if you ever listened to George Harrison's Beatle recordings where he's got sitar, like you hear the sound of a tambura. And then the tabla, which is the percussion. So it's really melody and rhythm are the driving forces of, I think, both those styles of music. And the guitar is for me the place where I feel most expressive, but it's there to support the voice.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
To go ahead and lock this out, we're getting close to getting ready to start, just about your music and where people can find it, and get in touch with your articles, Premier Guitar, and just your other projects, upcoming shows even.
Yeah, so I would love to mention, if I could, that I have a new record. I recorded it in Memphis with Bruce Watson, who is the producer for Fat Possum and made all those wonderful records.
Awesome.
That's going to come out next year, but the...
How did that come to be, y'all meeting?
Through my friend Nick Loss Eaton.
Okay.
Yeah. Who is a musician I know who happened to be working with Bruce at the time. He works with Bruce. But Nick is from up in Boston, and he moved down to Memphis, and But we, yeah, it all kind of goes back a few years. But so that record is done, but I'm just in the early stages of launching a pre-order for it.
Okay.
And the first track premiered on American Blues Scene today, and there's a pre-order link on my website, and I'm trying to raise funds to get the record out there next year.
What is that website?
RyanLeeCrosby.com.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And just as far as social media, ways to stay in touch with what you got going on?
Yeah, I mean, I reluctantly exist on social media, on Facebook, Ryan Lee Crosby Music, and Ryan Lee Crosby on Instagram, and I'm on YouTube also.
Perfect.
And Spotify and Bandcamp and all that stuff.
Yeah, and just to plug your YouTube channel, I mean, he's got some good videos there. I've enjoyed.
Oh, thanks.
And especially the most recent one that was shared yesterday, I think, on your music page on Facebook. Rex shared it. It was floating around. Then I saw it this morning when I woke up.
Oh, that might be the new song that premiered on American Blues Scene. Yeah, it's on a YouTube clip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's probably what I'm thinking about.
Right.
Well, perfect. Anything else to add or subtract?
No, just that it was great to talk to you, Alan, and great to be on Porch Talk, and I'm really glad to be back in Bentonia.
Yeah, man, it's great to see you again, and I cannot wait to catch you set. I guess I'll be right there with you as a sound guy.
Yeah. Excellent.
Well, all right, man. Well, let's get out of here.
Yeah, thanks.
She ain't coming back now, I know.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.